Today's scripture reading is 1 Kings 17, verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Okay. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. Then he came to the town gate, or when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Okay, so I'm just going to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time that we can honor the mothers that you've given us. And I just pray that you would bless them today and bless the message also. Amen.
Mother's Day, as we know it in the 21st century, originated actually in the United States of America on May 9, 1914, by an act of Congress. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. President Wilson established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for mothers. And last night I was sitting in my office and I wanted to remember some things about my mom. And actually two mothers came in front of me. And you may say, well, that's okay. First was my grandmother, my mother's mother, and then my mom. And I saw in these two ladies something that I wish every child, every grandson had seen. I saw last night sitting there once again after many years the love, the devotion, and the compassion of a mother to her daughter, and then her daughter's love, devotion, and compassion to her children and grandchildren. When there was the massacre in Turkey, and when there was the Armenian genocide taking place, my grandmother was pregnant with my uncle, and my mom was only about 7 years old. And they had to leave where they were, or else they would have been killed. And they walked for days and a few weeks to reach the sea. And while my grandmother, carrying her little daughter and pregnant, about to give birth, was walking, people around her said, "What are you going to do? You can't save this little girl. Leave her here. Maybe someone will adopt her and take her." And I suppose the temptation is always there to save your life. But my grandmother said, "No, if she dies, I'll die with her." And those emotional thoughts came, and I said, "What am I doing here? I am 69-year-old man and thinking, going back. How can you ever erase those thoughts and pictures from your mind?" Well, I saw the same kind of devotion and love in my mother during the war. That was the first war with my grandmother. And then, well, in 1915, my mom was born. And then during the Second World War, when everyone was dying in Athens, Greece, my mom with one leg, she had lost her leg when she was about 8 years old, she went out to work to support her family. You may not have a mother that worked as hard, or you may have a mother that worked even harder and gave her life for you. Whoever or whatever the situation is, today we're here to remember our mothers. There have been mothers that have been saints or great, and there have been mothers who have failed in many areas. Nevertheless, God has blessed us with life and our mothers and fathers, of course, but this morning we are going to talk about mothers. God established the family, the home. The Bible says we must honor our fathers and mothers. Parenthood is difficult at best, but when the father is not present, motherhood is even more difficult. And these days today, where the divorce rate is so high, that is shame, and it is something that has never meant to be, or God did not create us to have this kind of families, dysfunctional and broken families. And so what I'm saying is, when the father is missing, then the burden of the mother becomes even heavier to carry. And yet you see thousands or hundreds of thousands of mothers and grandmothers taking care of their children and grandchildren. So it is difficult, and they do need the honor and the respect that they deserve from us all. In 1 Kings 17, verses 7 to 24, we read the story of a widowed mother in Zarephath. She was a very poor widow who lived with her young son, a single mother. The only thing she had was just enough flour and oil for a small meal for herself and her son. And then she and her son would die of hunger. Today, when I look back during the war, at least in Europe where I was brought up, I remember hungry people picking up food and whatever they could find in the streets to survive. So I know what hunger is. But today, in our society, we pick and choose what we want, and so we have the luxury of plenty of food, while we know that there are many in the world that don't even have a slice of bread. So this lady was getting ready to die with her son because there was no food. But God knows what He does. But her encounter with Elijah, the prophet, changed everything. Let's look at this unknown mother. Who knew her? No one knew her. She wasn't an important lady in the city. She wasn't a well-known woman. She was not a rich woman. She was not a woman that had been recognized, that would be recognized in the streets. She was living alone with her son, an unknown mother. First, her relationship with God. Let's look at her relationship with God and what happened or what made her to become such a blessed woman. So after thousands of years, we still remember this woman. Can you imagine being her with her son and being ready to die or getting ready to die and not knowing that 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, people will remember you and your son. She may have been unknown to others, but not to God. God not only knew her, He actually cared and loved her. We read, I have commanded a widow there to supply you with food. Isn't that interesting? A woman who is about to die of hunger is seen by God. And God has made a plan for her survival, not only for her survival, but the survival of her son and a prophet, a great man would remain alive and would be able to continue because of this faithful woman. Jesus actually spoke of this widow in Luke 4:25-26. We read, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. We only know some things about her, not many, but few things. She was a believer. She knew the Lord. She was a believer. She knew the Lord. And anyone who knows the Lord and trusts in His judgment, and he or she trusts God, will never be left alone or let down. She was a believer. And that is why God saw her, as God saw Abraham, where he was among so many unbelievers. He was surrounded by unbelievers. As God saw Lot and his family, as God saw so many, Noah, where they were, as God cared for the city of Nineveh, He cares for every individual. If you are a single mother or a single father, don't you ever forget that God cares for you, and God will provide enough, at least to survive. But more than that, He'll bless you. She talked with God. That is why she knew His will, feed Elijah. Now, how did she know that Elijah needed food? Well, because Elijah came and spoke to her. But God had already put that in her heart. She was willing to share what she had. From that very little she had, she was told by God to share it, and she was willing to share it. Often, the people that help the most are the people who have the least. And when people respond to God, the little boy who had few fish and a few pieces of bread was blessed. Not only he ate enough, but thousands of people were fed because of his faithfulness. A single mother, a mother, whether she is single or widowed or married, is a blessing to her children and the people around her. She talked with God. Do you talk with God? Do you bring to God your needs and your problems and your questions and your doubts? If you do, trust that He is there, and wait upon Him for His answers. She talked with God, and God answered her. She knew what poverty, sorrow, and aloneness was like. No one had to tell her what poverty is. She knew she was going through it. She was having financial problems, and there was no one to help her or care for her. How many times I've heard men and women say, I have not enough, I don't have enough money to buy my next loaf of bread, and yet they survive because God always provides. And I know there may be someone here, or maybe more than one here, who you may be going through a difficult period of time. You have your children, you have your grandchildren, you may have your brother or sister or your parents or someone that you love going through a difficult period of time, and you want to help, but you don't have enough. Just bring it to the Lord. I know it. Sometimes people say, well, that's a cop-out. You know, anything you want, you just pray, and you believe that God is going to drop money from heaven. Well, sometimes He does. But often, most of the time, He wants you to do something about it. He may not change the circumstances, but He will help you deal with the circumstances. But she was a caring, busy mother. God always calls busy people to serve Him. She could have done nothing, but she was a loving, caring mother who was busy preparing food for the child. We don't know where she found that little flour. Maybe she went and looked for it. Maybe she asked for it. We don't know. But she had a little bit which she had to prepare it for her son. First was her relationship with God. And then we see this mother had her fears. I mean, who here does not have fears? And this morning we were discussing anxiety or fears or being concerned about things. And this woman had many concerns. But the most important thing that she had to worry about right now was that she had no food. And they would both die. She is in distress. She knows the will of God, but she feels she cannot do it. She does not have the means. Have you ever felt that you have come to the end of your rope as a mother? Have you ever felt that you have come to the end of your rope as father, as a human being who cares for someone else? Well, God is there to hear your prayer. Listen to your prayer. And He will give you instructions. The problem is, often we don't wait enough to receive the instructions from God. We pray and move on. Often the problem is that we don't have two-way conversation with God. As a matter of fact, I should say, we don't have a conversation with God. We have only one-way communication. We tell Him what we want. We tell Him what we need. We tell Him how He should do it. We tell Him how much we want to receive from Him, and then we move on. We want to do it on our own, and God says, wait, take your time. Just wait. Listen, I've got some instruction to give you. She is focusing on how little she has rather than God. And I believe often we look at our money and we say, I only have so much, so little, and how am I going to pay all these bills, rather than say, okay, God, give me the wisdom, give me the strength, show me how to do it. But often we or many may say, okay, I need money, please give me money, or give me a house, and we are not ready to do what His instructions are, to follow His instructions. And this lady, though, this mother, was willing to do what God wanted her to do. She was focusing on how little she had, but for a moment had forgotten that God is in control. She expects the worst, eat and die. Even though she was a believer, even though she had prayed, even though she had faith in God, for that particular moment, for a moment she was disconnected, or she, for a moment, she took her eyes off Jesus or off God, way turned her to her misery, and she prepared to die. She is afraid. And I believe every one of us has experienced fear. Fear can be paralyzing. Fear robs us of strength, enthusiasm, and confidence. Fear turns our thoughts away from our mighty God to meager needs of the moment. God supplied food every day. There was never more or less than they needed. Actually, this was a more important lesson for Elijah than the woman. During this time of waiting, God kept reassuring Elijah of his power and his protection. He will provide. The ravens appearing every morning and evening and had been constant reminder of God's faithfulness. And now the jar of flour and the jug of oil were never empty. Elijah needed this constant reminder to prepare him for that what still lay ahead. Are you defeated by your fears? Please remember that God loves us and wants to replace our fears with faith in Christ. The cross proves the love. The resurrection proves He is able to deal with every situation. When I was looking at these notes and I thought of the cross, I remember another mother, the mother of Jesus, this great teenage girl who was chosen by God to send His one and only Son to this earth. Mary was faithful and willing to listen. She focused on her faith in God. And Mary not only brought up her son according to the traditions, but actually Mary brought up Jesus in the ways of God. And if you read the beginning of our Lord's life, you'll see that His parents, but especially His mother, Mary, did whatever was expected from an honorable and godly mother. Not only in the beginning, but until the last moment, Mary was there at the cross. When everyone else left, ran away, Mary was there, not only suffering the pain of losing her son on the cross, carrying the sins of man, but also feeling so lonely and alone. And Jesus knew that. You see, God knows the heart of a mother when that heart starts bleeding. And Jesus said to John, please take care of my mom. I love her. And so we celebrating this morning Mother's Day, not the way that people are celebrating Mother's Day today, not just getting some flowers and box of chocolates and say, Happy Mother's Day, and then that's it. And the following day or even a few hours later, disrespecting, disobedience, not paying attention to her needs. This mother and the triumph of her faith are remembered until today. First, the faith seems to be dying when it becomes when becomes almost impossible to see the next day. But that weak faith becomes a dynamic faith later on. First, she is fearful, then she is faithful. First, she is part of the misery, then she is part of the miracle. This mother obeys God and God honors her faith. Faith still triumphs. Our crucified and risen Lord will meet us where we are. His grace is sufficient for the needs of mothers, fathers, and others, including your needs. Will you bring your needs to the Lord? If you are saying this morning, yes, you're right, but you don't understand my situation, just remember that God understands your situation. You may be a single mother, you may be with your husband, you may be with your children, or you may be going through a difficult period of time. Maybe someone in your family is suffering and you say, where is God? Where is God when I need Him? Now I need Him and I don't see Him and He doesn't talk to me and He doesn't hear me. And actually, He is talking to you, but you are so loud that you don't hear His voice. Will you stop for a moment and let Him talk to you? Let Him explain to you His ways, and you will see that things will become bright once again. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of that love. You actually have taught us to love each other as you have instructed husbands to love their wives as Christ. You, Lord, love the church and you gave your life for our salvation. And so we pray this morning to give us that kind of a love, to love our wives and to love our children and love everyone around us. Help us, Lord, to reflect you in our daily life. And I pray for all the mothers this morning, all the grandmothers and everyone that is blessed with a family. Please help them to reflect you in their daily lives. And I pray for those who are alone and lonely and have no one. Please comfort them, be with them, help them feel your presence and rejoice. I ask these things in your blessed name. Amen.